Welcome to the Briefing Room, a Healthcare Communications Association initiative. I'm Jo Spadaccino, co-founder of a health communications agency called STIRD, and I'm co-leading this Briefing Room series with Ramota Alaram from health tech company CISIV, and who is also my colleague on the Foresight Committee. The HCA Foresight Committee explores topics that have relevance not only for today, but also help us as a profession to prepare for tomorrow. In our briefing room, we're talking with prominent senior business leaders in a wide variety of roles in the pharmaceutical sector to help us build a timely picture of what their future key areas of focus are looking forward, and importantly, what the future asks will be for us as healthcare communicators. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing James Osborne, a hugely experienced communicator who is currently operating as an independent consultant. Hi, James. Welcome to the briefing room.
Hi, Jo. Good to see you. Good to be here.
Good to see you. Okay, so let's start, if you would, by spending just a little bit of time introducing yourself and sharing your career path to date, including what's keeping you busy right now.
Thanks, Jo. Yeah, so I suppose the bulk of my career has been spent agency side, consultancy side, in behaviour change campaigns, patient engagement, as well as communications. And then in more recent years, as you say, working largely on a freelance and contract basis in-house. So it's been fascinating to see both sides of the fence. And I did actually start my career straight out of uni at Leo Pharma, which is full circle where I'm currently working and helping out the team in the UK and Ireland. So yeah, it's funny how these things come back full circle.
Yeah, brilliant. And as well as kind of working, I guess, within pharma, you've also had a little foray out into the health tech or tech bio space as well. So kind of a different perspective as well.
Yeah, I've spent a fascinating year or so with Benevolent AI, the drug discovery company, which is, from a corporate communications perspective, was a great experience, but also just getting to see firsthand the work being done to address some of the biggest challenges in the pharmaceutical industry in terms of optimising drug development and discovery. So, yeah, fantastic year spent with that team.
Brilliant. Yeah, really looking forward to hearing, I guess, how your experience has shaped your outlook. In fact, let's start there. So how have those kind of all those different environments and the roles you've had kind of really influenced your approach to communications? What does health communications look like to James Osborne?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that the key thing that I think in terms of a commonality is just value and impact. So the work we do, obviously, you know, from through the lens as communicators, it has to often add value, as it should, to commercial functions, medical functions, and of course there's, you know, that role of, as I mentioned, that the corporate comms stuff, which has huge value and often drives that core corporate affairs or commercial function at times. So I think that for me is the key theme. Obviously, agency side, it's absolutely you know, obvious and clear that the work you do has to bring value. It's a revenue generating role and service, but in-house it applies exactly the same. You know, it's about ensuring that the work you're doing is bringing value to the organization, and it's sometimes harder to quantify when you're not looking at a precise budget line and you know, and delivering revenue in a direct way, which sometimes means you have to work even harder to show that and make sure that there's that alignment throughout the business to represent the role of comms, but also ensure that your colleagues and peers across the different organizational structures understand your role, how you can bring value and benefit to the work they're doing, as well as vice versa.
Yeah, great that you started off with that word around value. Obviously, you know, always important, but when times are tight, there's an even, you know, sharper focus on the value that any function can bring. And I think, you know, we've seen across the industry that the questions and and pressures that have been put on not only comms but whole businesses. So yeah, I think never more than at the moment or you're feeling that. And kind of in, I guess throughout your career, you've seen, you know, communications play out in different ways and different businesses. Kind of, you know, there's always a question around where communications sits in an organization, and you know where and when it's represented, particularly kind of around the leadership table. What have you seen in your career kind of that has enabled comms to be really seen as that commercial driver and valued part of the organization? Where have we got it right?
Yeah, so I think, and this is obviously an ongoing question, probably for decades before we were working, and I think often it's because it's quite difficult, and perhaps it's become increasingly so, to define what, you know, the role of comms. Obviously for in the last decade or so has largely also included different channels, social media, for example. But I think where it really pulls through and justifies the value is when it can align to driving those other business goals, and I think that's, you know, probably none so clearer than through the corporate lens. So Benevolent AI, for example, it was largely a, you know, a corporate comms role, and one of the, you know, fascinating things was, you know, speaking to journalists, and actually, because it's such a new area and a complex area, is you become your role becomes about, you know, providing information and almost in a sense education around a new space, even to journalists that might be working in tech or working in pharma, but bringing the two together is in that relatively new space is something brand new. So I think being able to facilitate that and own that is really important, and of course that all links back to corporate profile of an organization and how it's seen in the external sphere. So yeah, I think that's the it's almost the easier win, I think, the corporate piece, particularly when it's obviously aligned to different regulatory milestones, for example, that communications function is absolutely vital. That said, I think when we're again thinking about how we define comms, when patient engagement, for example, also falls into that bucket, as it often does within the healthcare comms world, then actually the most impactful work can very well sit in that space. And again, much less clear in terms of that revenue driver, but you know, thinking around some of the work that we did at Novartis in a very unknown and unusual dermatological condition, HS, which has a huge socioeconomic impact on people and severely affects relationships. And actually, it was when we could bring in the true patient experience to speak to people in the organization and actually have an honest and open conversation, you just see people, you know, almost their face completely changes, because they understand the value of the work that they're doing, to try and help people. And I think we're very good in our industry at talking about, you know, the benefit to patients. And actually, when we hear those stories and speak to people face to face, it really does bring it to life in terms of the value and impact. And I think that's really important, and something that has, when you see it and when you help to facilitate it, a very clear and obvious value to everyone involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of the I guess the hearts as well as the minds, isn't it? And it's that you know, really hitting home kind of how it makes you feel as well as just listening to information and bringing that home really.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I remember that particular occasion. It was interview style, and looking out and, you know, seeing sort of, it was almost a cliche, but tears in people's eyes, and you think, wow, that's, you know, it's obviously and clearly resonated with people. And as you say, you know, when we think about behavior change generally, that often often that emotional engagement sits right at the start, doesn't it? And you can clearly demonstrate how you can then move people through a journey like that with, them providing information and how it then applies to their roles to make them better at the work they're doing as well.
Absolutely. I guess sticking on the theme of, I guess, focusing on patients, the end users of the products of pharmaceutical of the pharmaceutical industry. Lots of talk, around patient engagement from everything from kind of trial design to, like you say, kind of supporting understanding of how to take medicines. Even kind of, I guess, tapping into whether people get medicines or not. We're obviously seeing a big shift in technology, and there's been lots of talk about authenticity, automation, taking the, I guess, the human focus out of communications. And there's definitely a school of thought around that. What's your take? And I suppose particularly, again, having recent experience of working in a company, pretty much founded on AI technology, albeit for, drug discovery purposes rather than communications. What's your take on that? Do you find it exciting, liberating? Is it going to fuel us forward, or have you got some reservations?
Yeah, well, I think the one thing we can be certain about is that it's happening and going to happen. And this is the all important question about, as you allude to, the sort of ethical standpoint to some of the potential there. And I mean, when you think about, for example, hard to reach patient groups, and engaging them around particular health conditions in campaigns. And one of the things I think at the moment that's, the industry, has to think very carefully about is, while it has historically been difficult to find hard to reach patients who might be willing for all sorts of reasons to feature in a campaign, and that would, in many cases, have good resonance to reach people, and the likes of you and I and the industry would like them to be involved, but they're hard to engage. So when we think around what is possible with AI content generation, we think, well, actually, if that patient could be AI generated, it theoretically meets the comms goals, and it can sit as part of that campaign already pretty convincingly if it's creative. But you then, exactly as you say, think about the authenticity, and we've spent, I think, as an industry, a long time talking about the authentic patient voice and the true patient experience and giving people a voice. So it does raise the question of how we finally balance that, even if our intention is naturally a positive one. We want to engage people, but if it's as easy, and it is becoming that easy, of simply generating it artificially, then are we failing to give people who might want to share their experience and a voice, the opportunity to do so? And I think at the moment, I don't think we necessarily have the answer to that. And I think we're probably perhaps getting towards some use cases in the next 6 months or a year. And yeah, sort of a watch this space, I think, broadly on that one. But I think that's the biggest challenge from a patient engagement perspective, particularly.
Do you think we can learn in the communication space from, I guess, the companies who've been utilizing AI for other use cases away from comms, and particularly, even within the pharmaceutical sector where AI has been used, as we've talked about for many other areas of drug development? Are there things that we can learn and accelerate our practice on? They're kind of built on their shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the biggest challenge and opportunity at the moment is actually helping people, regardless of their job function, outside of specialist AI scientists, to actually integrate it into their own workflow and work style. And you look at certain law firm at the moment is bonusing people against the use of their AI systems because they know it's going to drive efficiency. And I think when first started thinking about its impact on comms, what, probably 2017, 2018, and the pessimists at the time sort of said, oh, it'll be a decade before it makes any real impact or we see any real change. And actually, to be fair, that's probably about right. We're probably 6, 7 years in, 3 or 4 years into practical application for the majority of people. And I do think, in the next couple of years, when AI natives graduate from university, that is going to be a huge wake-up call for not only for organizations, but for individuals in organizations, because they are using AI every single day in their academic work, and they are going to be very skilled at prompt generation and the general usage of different platforms. That I think we'll see a quite obvious gap among some people who, for whatever reason, haven't been taken on the journey so far. So I think that is a kind of a real focus for most organizations in terms of being able to upskill existing team members. And because I think, we've got to that point where, most large companies have got the sort of closed loop, ChatGPT, for example, where it can be used as part of day-to-day functioning. And it's, twofold. It's a case of people dipping their toes in it and getting a sense of it and how it can help them, but also it is for companies to provide that structured and dedicated support to upskill people, for sure.
If you even look back 12 months, with organizations and the sector as a whole has rapidly accelerated, hasn't it? We're in a very different place now, and almost every month brings a different phase of adoption. And it appears now that it is, it's not just those at the front line using it. Companies are catching up with regulations, with policies, with the infrastructure around the individual pioneers to kind of make it more mainstream. My sense is there's still quite a way to go on that, and I think obviously there will always be companies at the forefront and those who follow in their wake, but I think that's when you really start to see it being embraced across the board, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as you say, it feels like we're generally making very good progress in terms of the compliance side of things and having operational systems. Still some work in some companies to be done. And then it's about that kind of empowering people, but in a for many people, a structured way to think, okay, well, what are the expectations? Because I think it will get to that point in probably a couple of years where, whether we like it or not, things that might have taken 2 hours as comms professionals will be expected to take quite a lot less time. And theoretically, that has pros and cons, doesn't it? I think there's a sense that on the one hand, that frees people up for more strategic thinking, if you're using it to organize information, first drafts, etc. But there is also the real risk, I think, that actually, people rely too much for on the platforms for critical thinking, and people start producing things actually that they don't really understand, and that is a potential risk when obviously when we're thinking about external content and recommendations within our industry.
Certainly not writing humans out of the equation anytime soon.
No, that's it. I mean, absolutely. I think that's the really important point, isn't it? I think it's, the idea of relationships, human relationships, I think in my mind is it's almost more important than ever. And I think a lot of the things that stand really great agencies apart is their ability to understand the commercial drivers of the organization they're working with. Provides a true understanding of the business, but also be that strategic counsel that can help guide and advise communications professionals in-house and through that ultimately the overall business. And And I think, like in any sector, people are up, the responsibilities, particularly at the moment in our industry, tend to be very broad. There are less people. So being able to bring that value, I think, is really crucial. And I think to my mind at least, becoming that trusted brain is somebody you can pick up the phone to and have that conversation. It's not going to be replaced anytime soon, I think. And it's that nuance of experience that people bring that's so vital, for sure.
Yeah, great point. I was going to ask you about the kind of the relationship between, I guess, yeah, those in-house roles and what they need from their agency partners. So you've answered that question perfectly, actually. I had another question around, I suppose, and it's kind of related to the topics we've been talking about, but it could be broader. And it's around the concept of health equity. I know, that's an area that you're really passionate about. And I think, obviously, kind of post-COVID, we saw, a huge debate around digital literacy amongst certain populations, what we needed to put in place in this changing world to ensure that, health equity was achieved or at least improved. What's your view on where we're at, kind of, a good few years on now? Like, what are we seeing playing out? How are we progressing? And how is, this developing tech influencing that? Is it going to help or is it actually going to widen the gap?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I remember writing an article about this. I think it was 2020 during COVID, and remember some of the feedback at the time of people saying, "Oh, I haven't really heard much about that health literacy concept before." And I think it has moved on in terms of awareness. People, certainly in our industry, understand generally the concept. But I think sort of two things. One is that people still hugely overestimate people's ability to digest, particularly written content. Still see a lot of patient materials produced that sound like they're for if not a scientific audience, then for a well-educated audience that's used to consuming large amounts of fairly complex information. So I think it's the practical application that we still need to work on. And then secondly, I think it's that idea of digital accessibility and to your point, the real challenge at the moment, even if we take AI out of it for a moment, it's that ability to access everything from GP appointments on your smartphone, right through to interactive apps that are designed to help people manage their condition. And there's no doubt that people with low levels of health literacy can sometimes misunderstand a written physical GP appointment card. So navigating some of the systems, as anyone who's tried to make a GP appointment in the last 3 or 4 years knows, navigating some of those systems can be a challenge in themselves. So I think it's our industry being mindful of the work we still need to do in that area. And secondly, just overall, ensuring that if we're building things out from a digital perspective, which does add huge, huge value to patients, making sure that we are making allowances for the reach of that content.
Yeah, really insightful, and it's just making me think as you were talking there. I mean, that's obviously through the lens of patients who all come with their kind of different perspectives, but equally, actually, you could apply that to how we communicate with healthcare professionals too. And I think I've certainly experienced in my career that sometimes we treat all healthcare professionals the same and we expect them to have that same level of knowledge. And there's such a huge difference between a specialist in a particular therapy area and a GP and a nurse. And to assume that they're all going to have Even of course they've got the capability, but have they got the time, to really be able to digest in that level of detail? So I think I was just reflecting there as you were talking that, this is where, our job as communicators aren't just about the words we use, it's very much about how we present the information, who presents the information, and just making sure that we get that accessibility right the whole time. And that's omni-channel, right? Without saying it,
That's it,
without using that word, is like thinking of it in the round, how can you get somebody from A to B using all the resources, that at your disposal? And when you put it like that, it's quite simple. Obviously, it's much, much more difficult in practice. And whether that's, I guess the investment and resources that are available, but also really practical things like how do you work together as a team to get it done? And, that's the challenge that we all have facing us every day, isn't it? But
Absolutely. And I think, think about, as you say, that almost micro detail around different healthcare professionals and the potential for tailored communications based on beliefs and experience and all of those different metrics. And I think it always comes back again to relationships. I think if we if and if people are willing to put in the level of investment in these things, and if it's a commercial imperative, then I think it was achievable 20 years ago, by having a conversation with people in the field who really know their customers, for example. And I think while being able to categorize and tailor communications, no doubt, particularly with AI in the mix, it's going to be easier going forward and more cost effective. Very hard to replace those human conversations as an input to the insights that help to drive that content, I suppose, but also the relationship for the long term.
Yeah, definitely. So we've talked a lot about kind of the various, I guess, influences that are going on at the moment. Is there anything else that you can kind of foresee in your crystal ball, that I guess, how the skill mix of communicators might need to shift in anticipation of some of the things that are coming down the pipe for us? What's your views on that?
So I mean, I think it's by the same token we talk about that value that great agencies can bring. I think it's in almost any setting of communications, particularly in our sector, it's very hard to replicate or replace just true knowledge and understanding about the industry that you operate in, bringing the nuance of experience through, so you can make sound recommendations and strategic counsel to other leaders within the business. And I think, as we get into the next couple of years, some of the things that we do and might have taken up a fair bit of time for teams, particularly agency sides, some content generation, for example, it is going to be faster. So it's how do we ensure that in-house and agency we justify really true value to our stakeholders, and I think that is one of the ways. I think being able to bring that insight and understanding that helps people make better decisions. I think that's it. And there's only so much that tapping something into ChatGPT is ever going to bring, at least as far as I can see in the short term. So I think that's really important. And I suppose this is becoming a bit of a theme, but coming back to that relationship side of things again, of knowing how to work with the right people at the right time in organisations to drive everybody's objectives. I think that's really, really important and is as far as I think, never going to change. It's the thing that's stood people out 10, 15 years ago, and it's the thing that will continue to stand people out, in my view.
Perfect. Perhaps a bit of a cheeky question, and you're welcome to abstain. But obviously, you've been on both sides of the fence, agency side and in-house. Where do you think innovation happens fastest?
That's a really good question, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I think it's actually really case by case. I think there are some fantastic examples of innovation that happens in-house, where actually there's been the ask on agencies to develop more quickly and agency partners to catch up in their thinking. And I think, particularly around some of the work, in AI drug development's a good example. But at the same time, I think, there's no doubt that agencies, and this is another key role they can play, is being that continued driver of innovation. And it often comes down, doesn't it, to the different agency models and the precise way that they work, but it has to underpin everything. Is there a better way of doing things that's going to drive better impact and better value? And I think back to some of the work in years past at Pegasus, for example, where we're actually bringing together all of the different disciplines and channels within communications actually helped the agency drive through work that we had to take clients on a journey to drive that work through. And I think that's always perhaps a bit of a benchmark, isn't it? If there feels like there has to be a learning undertaken at some point either side of the relationship, then that's probably a good sign. It helps both parties drive each other forward to do better work.
Yeah, nice. And yeah, one can't do it without the other sometimes either. So it is that mutual partnership, isn't it? Whether that's within the organization or cross organization. And quite often we see, the best kind of, I guess, programs, projects, when actually there are multiple organizations collaborating, whether that is industry, health services, charitable sector. An agency absolutely is a credible partner, alongside them in that endeavor. So yeah, great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's as you say, it's that mix of different experiences and backgrounds that's so important. And at Benevolent AI, remember bringing in Crohn's and Colitis UK for an internal town hall, and a lot of the team's incredible AI scientists and chemists, obviously very, very scientific focused. So being able to paint a picture for them actually of the work that or the value that the work they're doing will eventually bring to patients and to people is really important. And I don't think it's ever too early or the wrong scenario to build in that kind of diverse level of opinion and experience, and it helps everybody do their jobs better, I think.
Brilliant. I've got one eye on the time, so I'm going to try and squeeze in two final questions. One is around, I guess, we've talked a bit about what's coming, what we might be looking like as a profession in the future. What advice would you give to somebody starting out in the health comms sector right now?
I think the key thing is getting out and speaking to people. I know a couple of people who actually started their first roles out of uni almost completely virtually. And there's it's been discussed in terms of the some of the great pros and potential cons of that. But I do think the kind of common theme is being able to just have those conversations. And it might be that it's virtual, it might be that it's in person, but it's creating the time for something that's not just a transaction. And I think that's where you can really firstly just hear different perspectives as somebody who's new to the industry, but also to just pick up on those nuances. And it's only sometimes in the more informal conversations that happen, when you're leaving a meeting room or something where you think, oh, actually, I've just had a meeting about that particular topic, but they've just told me the thing that is actually really concerning them at the moment, or a key priority for them. And that type of information, whether you're in-house, but particularly an agency, I think is really valuable because it enables you to identify where some of the true value lies and that you can bring to people in their roles and in their functions.
Yeah, great advice. Yeah, it reminds it's kind of the equivalent, isn't it, of the GP consultation with the hand on the doorknob and oh, one final thing. But that's where you get the best insights. You know, that's where the
I
truth
think
comes
so.
out.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, one final question for you then. What excites you most about where health communications is heading?
So, I mean, I think for me, it's really coming back to driving that genuine improvement for patients, particularly those, when we're thinking around health equity, that have got often the biggest, they've sometimes got the biggest needs, but find it most difficult to get the help they need. So for me, kind of continuing on that journey, and almost in any role I'm working in, look, it's a common theme that pulls through, and just looking at opportunities to unlock and enhance that sort of patient experience. For me, I think in broadly speaking, in healthcare, comms, and the pharmaceutical industry, we've got such a huge opportunity to drive that change. There are lots of organisations in the not-for-profit sector that are specialists in this as well, but we also are the teams that are working day in, day out on behalf of patients. That's often our mission. So I think for me, that's where my passion and excitement to the future continues to lie, is just continuing to seek opportunities to do that.
Perfect. And hopefully these health technologies that are emerging are going to help us do it more efficiently and so that it's kind of win-win for everybody. I think
Yeah,
that would be the Holy
absolutely.
Grail, wouldn't it?
That's certainly the hope.
Brilliant. Thank you, James. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. I think we've covered a hell of a lot of ground in a short space of time. And I know the HTA membership is going to be really interested to hear some of your perspectives. So thank you for giving up the time and we'll say goodbye.